if you were with us last Easter, I started a sermon series through the Gospel of Mark. Except I started at the very end, Mark 16, with the resurrection. And then we took half of the year through Advent. We worked our way through Mark. And then I took a break, and Pastor Mark has been preaching during this preaching sabbatical for me since the beginning of the year. He's going to do so for another month, and then I'll pick back up. But I'm so grateful for Mark's ministry to us, and so give your attention now to him as he brings the word to us.
Thank you, Pastor John, and thank you, everyone else. I know you had no choice in the matter, but I'm appreciative of everyone's patience and kindness in response. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't like hearing my own voice, but I don't know if most of us do, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here once again, and especially on this Easter Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Just real quick, I try to keep you informed of my grandson. He'll be turning 4 in May, and he has autism and global developmental delays. And so he goes in for his 4-year assessment. It's like a 2-hour appointment. They test him on everything. And that's coming up this Friday. And I know they're going to be very surprised because they didn't think he's going to be walking until 5 or 6 years old. And he's all over the place right now, still wobbly. But appreciate just any prayers that he comes to mind, we come to mind, just lift him up and they can continue to help us and provide services for him. But we're so grateful. I'm so grateful for my church family.
Amen.
Here. And you've been so kind to us, and we just are very grateful. All right, so this morning, I want to talk about what happens after the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, there's lots of things that take place. And so I'm just going to get right at it here this morning. Get my clicker out. All right, so first thing right off the bat is we have new life on earth, and we have eternal life in heaven. I'm going to get right to some scriptures here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes all through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So, we have life. We have life here on this earth. We have a place prepared for us in heaven. And so that's number 2, second point. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He's talking to the disciples, kind of trying to explain to them everything that's going to be happening and coming up for his crucifixion and the resurrection and everything. They're not totally understanding, but he's trying to let them know. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that? I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The great thing is that, folks, there's a place for us in heaven. In some versions of the Bible, older, they would call it a mansion. I don't know what I'm going to be getting. It's going to be something good, I'm sure, and much better than what I possibly have right now. We're homeowners for only the second time in our entire lives, And our home is like, there's a number of things that seem to be going wrong with it right now. Living in Oregon, I don't know if you've ever had moss on your roof. I'm sure none of you have. All right. Well, I'm trying to get the moss off the roof because I want my roof to last a little bit longer. But there's a number of other things. Because of the moss on the roof, I noticed there's a little leak in the garage now. I noticed that I need to have my sinks repaired. I need to have the shower. It's one of those where you pull up on the little knob and it's supposed to shift, and half the water's coming out the spout and half. So anyway, you know all the issues that we can face as homeowners. Well, guess what? We got a home that we don't have to probably do any repairs. We don't have to worry about that. It's going to be all provided for us.
Amen.
And so it's because of the resurrection that we have this. But on this earth, sometimes it's difficult, but He has prepared a place for us. And we need to be mindful of that, that no matter what's happening in this world, I'll talk about that a little bit more, God's got a place and He's got it ready to go for us. We have to do our part to make sure that our relationship with God is right, our relationship with God is current. We need to make sure that we receive Jesus Christ, we ask for forgiveness, and we have the, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Here we go. Number three, we have the Holy Spirit now living with us. This is great news because in the past, not everyone had that. If you were to look through the Old Testament, there are a few times where the Holy Spirit is given for specific purposes for people to do certain things, for possibly craftsmen, sometimes a prophet, certainly some kings were able to receive the Holy Spirit to help them. But folks, we have the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is one of the most important instructions that Jesus gives to His disciples and to us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. Now, right after this, they're all kind of hanging around going, what just happened? And so an angel comes and tells them, you need to go and wait. You need to go. And so about 120 of them, they probably rotated, but they were around 10 days in a room. They were praying the whole time, probably taking turns. They have to rest at some point. And finally, the Holy Spirit comes upon them in a powerful way, very powerful. And it took people who were really very fearful, not maybe 40 days ago when Jesus was being crucified. They're all kind of hiding out except for John. And now they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so the sermon that Pastor John just shared, the sermon, that part of it anyway, that Peter preached, he was emboldened to get up in front of a crowd and preach the gospel. 3,000 men got saved. There's probably many more. Amen. If it just mentioned the men. And that was the day of Pentecost. That was what started the church. And people were changed. Lives were changed. And God moved in a powerful, powerful way. So, let's look at another scripture. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus is not going to abandon us. He promises to send the Advocate. Other translations say the Helper or the Comforter. So, understand that the Holy Spirit is there with us. He is for every believer. And I've mentioned this, when we receive Christ, we get the Holy Spirit. But when we commit our lives to God completely, the Holy Spirit gets all of us. And He can do even more because we give Him permission, we allow Him, we surrender ourselves to Him to allow Him to do what He needs to do in our lives. So, what is that? Well, the Holy Spirit does a variety of things. This could be a whole sermon series, and maybe Pastor John has already preached on all of this, but He helps us in so many different ways. I think of just one way, it's actually nine ways, but if you go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So when we receive the Spirit helps us. He gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and I'm missing, I went over this over and over in my mind today already. You know, there's nine of them. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit. They're a package deal.
Right.
We all get it. And so what does it do? It helps us to live our lives for God in such a way that it's not only pleasing to God, but it helps us in our witness with others. It helps us in our relationships. It helps us to do the things that we're supposed to be doing for God. It used to be that back in the Old Testament, there was a number of things that people had to do in order to not only receive God's approval, but to receive forgiveness. It's like over 600 laws that they had to follow in the Old Testament. And it's an incredible amount of pressure, and it's an incredible amount, I can imagine, that all the different things they had to think about. I remember years ago, we were at a men's retreat. This was up in Washington when I was a youth pastor up in Federal Way, Washington. And so we had a men's retreat at a really large campground. There was several actual camps going on at the same time. One of the camps that was happening at retreats was the National Black Seventh-day Adventist Conference. And they were there. And so their Sabbath is on Saturday. It starts on Friday night at sundown, and it goes through sundown the next day. And so I remember we're there on Friday nights, and there's a few of us shooting baskets, and it's a little bit dark outside, and there was a couple of gentlemen from their group. They were walking around, and they said, excuse me, can I just share something really quickly? And I go, sure. He goes, why are you shooting baskets on the Sabbath? And I go, let me think here. And I thought, okay, well, we're with the Nazarene group over here. And he goes, oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry to have mentioned anything, brothers. And so they let us go about our business. And so apparently we weren't offending them. But that was something that they would not do because they believe that to honor the Sabbath, you have to do certain things. And certainly we would still honor the Sabbath. But our Sabbath is not on necessarily Saturday. We worship the Lord on Sunday. The reason for that is because the early church, in the celebration of the resurrection, that's what they did.
Amen.
So that's why we're here on Sunday.
Right.
But I got to thinking, you know, we do live with a lot of freedom as Christians. We really do. But we don't want to allow that freedom and take advantage of it. The Bible tells us in a few spots, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and also in 10, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. I'm not going to do anything that's not good for me. And then he says, not everything is beneficial. I'm not going to do anything that will control me. And so the Holy Spirit helps us with that. And so some people are going to have more freedom than others. I grew up in a church, in the Nazarene church years ago, somewhat legalistic. If you're an old-timer, there were certain things that it seemed like we had to do. You know, we weren't allowed to go to movies and do different things. And so those things, we're trying to allow the Holy Spirit to be the witness in our hearts, to speak to our hearts. And so when we have the Holy Spirit, what may be permissible for some person may not be for another, but there's certainly plenty that's clear in the Bible what we should and should not be doing. And the main thing is, I want to please God. And I'm at the point in my life where I want to, not only do I want to please God, the things that I do are to please God, not because I have to do them, but because I want to do them. I want to do what's pleasing. I want to do what's good to help others as well. The Holy Spirit helps me with all that. He's going to maybe have a different conviction for a young Christian as he would for someone else. But we need to stay in touch and in step with the Holy Spirit to allow Him to continue to work on our hearts and to help us. All right, so number four, we have Jesus interceding for us now at the right hand of the Father. So there are some religions out there and some other beliefs that they believe you have to go through someone else in order to receive forgiveness. And you have to have people that you might pray for, saints or whatever it would be. We have direct access to Jesus anytime, anywhere. I know one of the things for me, and I don't know about everyone else, is, but I hate to bug people at times. And, you know, if we got just a little problem here, you know, I don't know if I need to share that with everyone. But, because I don't want to bug them. But you're not bugging Jesus, folks.
Right.
You're not bugging him any time.
Right.
He's there waiting to hear. He knows the issues already. That's a great thing. And I like that the church here has the online Facebook prayer page. We had that in Oak Ridge. Other churches are doing that more and more now. And so we can share a request. And so I just want to tell you, you're not bugging the people of the church.
Right.
When there's a need, let people know about it. Because that's why we have each other.
Right.
But we also have Jesus to help us. And so he's there. Bible tells us that the devil is trying to accuse us 24/7. But Jesus is there interceding for us continually. And so make sure we take advantage of that. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He knows our issues. And so the great thing now about the resurrection is I don't have to go and bring sacrifices to God. My sacrifice is living for him and,
right,
and dying to self,
right,
so that I can allow the Holy Spirit just to use me. And it's great, folks, that we can go to Jesus anytime. And get in the habit of doing that. Just get in the habit of doing that. What I try to do is keep a list of things that I'm praying for, because I mentioned I have ADHD, so I get distracted at times, and I'll be praying, and my mind might wander. I'm sure no one else is like that. But so I have my list of things and people that I'm going to pray for, and I go through the list, and it keeps me on track. That's just a helpful hint for me. I don't know if that would be helpful for you, but bring those requests to God, and especially anything that we're dealing with. And God is there to help us. He really wants us to be living for him. He wants to help us to be able to do that. And so don't worry or fret that you're bugging Jesus. You're not. You're not bugging him.
Right.
All right. Next, this is the last one. Everything's going to work out. It really is. I know someone was sharing this recently. I saw a little video. And if the resurrection is true, everything is going to work out in the end. There's a lot of folks worried about all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's not just now. It's always. Always. We worry and we fret. And we don't have to do that.
That's right.
Because God is going to work things out.
Amen. Yes.
And so I got to thinking about this the other day. I was taking my daughter to the dentist. I'm sitting out. And every once in a while I get thoughts just start coming to me really quickly. And so the nice thing about having a phone now is I can record them. And so I wrote some things down the other day. What would happen if everyone followed Jesus, followed the Bible? Well, first thing, we'd have no more wars. You think about it, there'd be no more killing, just following the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But the fact that we would actually love one another. And so much, and so there would be into war. There would be no more stealing. Exodus 20:15 tells us that, but certainly through the Bible, it teaches us to be responsible and not to do things like that. There would be no more addiction. We'd be able to be self-controlled through the Holy Spirit. So that would pretty much limit prisons, probably to nothing, because people wouldn't be doing crime anymore. There'd be no more pride. There'd be no more lying. No more poverty. There'd be no more need. Acts chapter 2, verses 43-44 talks about the early disciples, how they were selling their properties and giving to others who had need. There'd be no more divorce, no unfaithfulness. There'd be no more conflict, no worry. Those are just a few things that came to mind. And I got to thinking about, you know, in the life that we live, it's very, very difficult. But God is there to help us, and he changes us if we allow him to do that. And I've actually seen physical changes in people's countenance after, before and after pictures.
Right.
Maybe you've seen someone, people on, they were like this and after drugs, and I've seen people who are like this before Christ and after Christ, and it changes their appearance, and certainly it changes the way they live their lives. And it happens over and over again. One thing I think about in particular was one of Nixon's henchmen, and his name just slipped me, Chuck Colson. He was a really bad dude. He came to Christ. It changed him so much that he actually changed the way that prison ministry is done. And I don't know if you've ever been to help out in a prison, but they allow Bibles in the prison. As a matter of fact, they like Bibles because the best rehabilitation program is through Jesus Christ. It truly is, and they want that. So everything's going to work out. So in this life, we're going to have difficulty, but Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body.
Amen.
So it's one of the reasons that we really stress in the body of Christ that we would allow the Holy Spirit to change us, and in turn, that we would have a heart to try to change others. Because if people come to Christ, it changes everything. It really does. And it's not easy. But that's one of our missions. Years ago, I mentioned this before, I was a short-term missionary in Germany. And I had no say in the political process whatsoever. None. I was in a citizen, and I didn't really know much of what was happening politically there. But I knew that I could do my part to make a difference. And so anytime an opportunity came for me to speak at a youth event, I did it. Anytime it came for an opportunity for me to invite someone to church, I tried to do that as well. Even with a language barrier that was difficult as I was learning German. And God was able to use what I had, the limited resources, to make a difference there. And that difference is still continuing. And folks, we can do the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
All of us. And so if you think it's bleak out there, folks, it's not. And ultimately, we have a place in heaven waiting for us. Don't get to the point where you're just saying, well, I'm just waiting for God. I'm just going to sit this out. No, no. We have work to do. And God will help us. So what's our part? Here's the challenge for today. Allow the risen Savior to rule in our lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does to help us to truly make a difference in not only our lives, but the lives of others. That's really the message of the resurrection, folks. It truly is. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor John as he closes. And again, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. Because of the resurrection. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark.